Hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean Folks. I'm the lead pastor for LifePoint Church, and I do the majority of teaching at the Lewis Center campus. This week, we continued in our series called I Am, looking at the I Am statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John. And we looked at such an important passage in the scriptures this past Sunday as we looked at John chapter 17 and the high priestly prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And one of the things that Jesus prays in the prayer, he says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent." So we talked about how do we train our hearts to consistently know God personally, not just know about God. It's not just that we have just a truth problem. We really have as much a training problem. It's not that we don't know what to do. The problem is how do we get it done? And so we talked about eternal life, this thing that Jesus came to die for, to give us in verse 3, that it's really just one of the basics of Christianity. We talked about blocking and tackling. Those are the basics of football. You can do a lot of things. If you're a cornerback, you can flip your hips fast. That's great. If you're a quarterback, you can throw the ball a long way. That's great. But if you can't block and you can't tackle, you're probably not going to win. And so we kind of illustrated that with the dichotomy between Jesus and Judas. So at the same moments, it seems, in the city, Judas is at the house of Caiaphas, and he's betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver that he's ultimately going to throw back at the leaders of the temple, and they're going to buy the potter's field. Well, simultaneously, Jesus is surrendering to God's will in the Garden of Gethsemane during his prayer to save Judas from the sin that he's committing, even though, as much as we know, Judas never takes advantage of the salvation that Jesus is providing. And what we talked about is that the core of eternal life is knowing how to deal with our expectations, that essentially Jesus and Judas were both doing that. Judas had expectations about what kind of life he would have in the kingdom that Jesus was setting up, or at least he thought Jesus was setting up, and he reacted when he wasn't getting his way. And at the same time, Jesus surrendered his expectations in the garden when he prayed to the Father, and he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And at the end of the day, eternal life means that we have to deal with those expectations. We talked about the example of, you know, if you talk to a guy in his mid-50s who's been taught all of his life, hey, the American dream is you work hard and it'll pay back. And yet we see a lot of men in their mid-50s in our country who are let go by corporations, and the corporations hire the younger, cheaper model in their place. And so sometimes our expectations become our frustrations. And that's when we really begin to learn that Christianity is so much more than what we think. It's not a moral code. It's not being born in a certain geography. It's not being part of a certain denomination. Really, at its core, the essence of eternal life is that it begins as we know God. That's what Jesus prayed for in verse 3, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. So we talked about this reality that eternal life does not begin when you end. Now, we tend to think that eternal life starts when we die. But the reality is that eternal life starts whenever we come to know God. The concept of eternal life, quite frankly, is insulting, because it means that you and I are dead. Scriptures say that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And obviously that means a spiritual death. It's not a physical death, right? But it's a spiritual death. And you think about this, it's true in plant, animal, human life. I mean, plants live at a vegetative level, but they do not understand the level of living that animals have or that humans have. So we say whenever someone is breathing and only existing, they're living in a vegetative state. It's a lower level of life. And so in the same way, until you come to know God personally, until you come to know Christ, you don't understand that there's an eternal way of living that's out there. So we have to begin applying the gospel to our identity. Let the I Am say who we are. And that's really the beginning of healing for us. It's the beginning of healing for things like anxiety and anger management. And what you see in this prayer is that Jesus offers to drink the cup. There were 5 cups that were used in a typical Passover Seder meal, and the 5th cup was the cup of wrath. And throughout history, God's anger, God's wrath had been stored up against sin. And if you think about it this way, it was kind of like it was being poured in a cup. Every sin, yours and mine, all that we commit. And Jesus says, I don't want to drink this cup. But he was faithful to do it. He was faithful to the mission. And so Jesus drinks the cup of God's wrath so that you and I could drink the water of eternal life. So it's in that exchange that we point our anxiety, we take our anger, we take our obsessions back to the reality that none of those things are going to die for us. We get anxious over our bank accounts, but you know what? A bank account is not, a bank account's not going to die for you. We get obsessed with attention and social media idea, but you know what? Twitter's not going to die for you. Only one did that. So let's take a minute and let's pray and let's thank him. God, thank you that you gave your life for us, that you drank the cup of eternal wrath so that we could live and have eternal life. And in your kindness, you modeled for us how to surrender every day and live eternal life, this basic blocking and tackling that comes with Christianity. And so God, I pray that our hearts are joined to that today. Today we pray and we say to you, not my will, but your will be done. Well, thanks again for joining us for the LifePoint Drivecast today. I hope you'll take the opportunity to tomorrow morning to reach back out. And I hope that these days are a blessing to you, especially as we're getting ready to head towards the fall. God bless.